Welcome to Crucible Radio. This week, we're going to talk about tournament play. We're going to talk about balance and destiny with the rest of your life, keeping that balance and keeping your head clear when things start to get hectic. And I'm going to preach to you guys about the glory of No Land Beyond and Fusion Rifles.
And I've got a sick new rap song to use as our theme song. What?
Ooh.
It's great. Just trust me.
Pass.
Hey, Swain, how's it going?
Hey, Birds, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for asking. Bones, you doing all right?
I'm doing so great. Hey, listeners, new and old, how are you guys doing?
Pause. Give them a sec. I'm sure they're screaming at their computers right now. Yep. We can hear it. We can feel it.
We feel the love.
Speaking of feeling it, I have been... Oh, my God. It's been so great this week. I have loved all the positive reception. Oh, it feels so good. I love to hear that people have found us helpful in any way. Why that's happened, none of us know. But we're going to keep trying to do whatever it is we're doing. And
we're sure as hell not helping ourselves.
Well, it's gradual. I mean, it's just, the internet is a scary place.
Oh,
there's
yes.
a lot of mean people out there with mean things to say. And yet we have all the nice people coming out of the woodwork to say thank you. So thank you to you guys. And
They exist.
Indeed.
There exists.
Thank you.
Nice people on the internet. Thanks so much.
For people, this is the first episode that you're listening to. It's pretty much just this. We're not going to get started. We're just going to...
Yeah, we don't really talk about Destiny that much. More you know, about how much
bits.
We like each other.
Yeah.
Jokes.
How
it's just
funny.
A personality thing, right?
Right.
Spend time with us.
I mean, that's why I assume anyone likes us is because they like to hear our voices talk about us, you know?
I certainly do.
That's what the metagame is, right? Am I confusing the word?
No, that checks out.
I think you got it right, yeah.
Okay, great.
So I think we've had an interesting week. I've been traveling a little bit, haven't been able to play as much. Bones, I know you had an interesting week. What have you been up to?
I have had an interesting week, because unlike you, because I don't know, what are you in Seattle? I think that's like a... Is it considered civilization?
Is it
Old West?
Well, it's technically part of the U.S., continental U.S. It is kind of up in the corner, so I could see how you'd be a little confused.
Right.
Do they have telephones there?
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Well, we don't have the line going out to the house yet. They haven't run the copper that far, but they do have Skype, so this is going to work out okay, I think.
Okay, well, good. Well, unlike you, I've had the internet. I've been playing Destiny this week, and I've done a couple funny things. Started a new character because I have a problem where I love designing the faces.
You pick the haircut like you think you're still going to like the haircut 3 months from now. You're not going to like the haircut 3 months
We'll see.
Now.
I still have my one warlock. I'll never delete that warlock. I think I made him look perfect. But I started a new hunter and got him back up to 20 in about 2 days of grinding. And it was very interesting to play with some green guns in the Crucible. I mean, I strictly did Crucible because you can level up a bit faster. I found this beautiful Gozen C with a long view scope, three rounds in the mag.
Three?
It was such a good sniper. Like, I think I still kept it.
So the Gozen had a little bit of fame because it could drop with final round and a three round sniper final round that the gunsmith sells from time to time is kind of a cool thing. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, and I didn't have the final round, so I wasn't body shotting anyone, but it's just a comfortable light gun, and I actually hadn't used the Longview SLR-20 on a sniper recently, and it's a great scope. I kind of want to find something and roll something with it. So that was an interesting experience, realizing how the guns you choose in the top tier weapons really, really do set give you an edge in the Crucible. But learning how to play Crucible with double jump, that was a terrible experience. Use blink. Just stick to blink. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I imagine you were just doing regular jumps for a while, just hopping around.
I went into a game with no super, no grenade, no double jump, and
sure.
I think I had a melee. No, I don't think I did. And, oh boy, trying to run upstairs and loop around to get special ammo, that's an experience.
Nope, you're not getting it. You leave that for the big boys.
Yeah.
Those level 20 big boys, they're getting the specialists.
Six rounds of Gozen ammo.
But on the opposite end of the spectrum, I actually participated in a PlayStation 4 tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
And I did not get far. I'll be honest. We hung in there. I liked my team. I played with some dudes I mesh well with. And that was fun to just, you know, really give us that challenge. But it was so eye-opening to see Skirmish on that true competitive level. And the stuff I learned from the teams I played was so helpful as far as teamwork goes. And I don't think it was, you know, strictly gun skill or reaction time that, you know, that was our downfall. I think it was the sheer synergy that these teams had. I mean, they ran with, there was a team with two Sunsingers and a Blade Dancer, and they timed their supers. So for about 2.5 minutes, I was just running from someone with a super. You know, as soon as the one guy ended his super, the next guy popped his, and it just worked. And, you know, they were timing their grenades, two firebolts at the same time. It sucks.
It's tough, yeah.
But it was very cool to see how much a team gels. And if you get comfortable with guys that you like playing with, you can start hitting that level and you can start just almost being one brain and working in full synchronization, which was pretty cool. And so I'm excited to do more tournaments in the future and play those. So it was a fun week.
So let's cut to the chase. How'd you do?
We lost both rounds. We lost, you know, the first round and then the loser's bracket, but we hung in there. At the end, you know, we were only down, you know, less than 500 points, and that seems like a lot, but that can sway with a triple kill pretty easily.
Sure.
So I felt good by the end of it. The big thing was getting used to the speed, and unfortunately there's some downtime between rounds, so it was kind of tough to you know, wait 45 minutes, then play, and then wait another 45 minutes and play a different team. So we tried to stay fresh with trials in between, but it was really the speed. You know, the top tier players are so fast, and it's just a different level that they're operating on. So I'm happy with how I did, and I'm happy with how my team played, but I'm ready to get back in there sometime soon.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I think I made the right call with this tournament, which was to watch it and see as it goes down, because I don't like getting utterly stomped by top-tier players.
Uh-huh.
So I was rooting for you guys. I was also rooting for the boys from Inclement, who bought their PS4s in the last 2 weeks, got their characters somehow leveled up. I think Invicta might have had a thorn, but
friend of the podcast, Texas Prod, using the Stranger's Rifle and an unleveled Hawkmoon.
Yep. Well, they ended up winning it. But it's, you know, what I did was I pulled up all three of their streams at the same time. And I just kept Invicta's audio on because he had the party chat going so I could hear them talking. But I would cut to different players and sort of watch each person's point of view. And there were some very concrete things that I learned from watching them, which is Invicta was a big, big proponent of timing special crates and making sure they got every last bit of special. Mm. So in addition to getting the kills, they're also, especially early on at the beginning, they're denying the other team special ammo. And in Skirmish, that's tough to do. There's a lot of crates and not a lot of people. But most of the time, they were able to pick up, you know, four of them. Pretty impressive.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, the other aspect of it that I saw is kind of what you talk about, that these teams are working in such synchronicity. I mean, a lot of people get competitive when they play trials, but elimination mode has a pace to it. Mm-hmm. You start in the same place mm-hmm. every time. You run as fast as you can. You have your engagement. Maybe once or twice a match, you know, somebody gets away and you have to run them down. But for the most part, the whole thing stops and starts in, you know, less than a minute the majority of the time. With Skirmish, yeah, you have downtime waiting for revives, but it's go, go, go the entire time. And you don't have these static map positions. You're sort of continually moving around the map as a team. And there's only so much like vocal space to do callouts and to communicate that. So you really have to understand each other. And when they say, I'm going to this spot, that implies I'm going to go here. So I need someone else to watch me from this angle. I need somebody up top, you know, covering this one, looking down. That it's kind of hard to follow when you're watching them do it, but you understand why these guys win the tournament.
It was actually, that was one of the big learning points I found out. And it's funny because, you know, playing sweaties with you guys and a couple of our other buddies, we love to do the chess match. You know, like, let's lock down this part of the map. We're going to watch this door. And we talked last week about how we can't keep staring into doors, hard scoping and things like that. You get no time to do that with these top level players. There's no waiting. And, you know, we talk about map control, and yes, it is still important, but you're still moving. You're still constantly checking every door. you're repositioning, you know, you never want to snipe from the same place twice. And yeah, like you said, there's no downtime. It's just go, go, go. And that was a crazy thing to get used to. And I got a real adrenaline kick from the speed. So that was a lot of fun.
The tough thing is if you get on the losing end quick and they get control of your spawns, you're kind of done, right? Mm-hmm. You're like right there. You see that in normal skirmish, and I'm sure you definitely see it in an imbalanced match in like tournaments. Like if they get your spawns, you're toast.
I mean, definitely. Momentum is such a huge part of it that, yeah, you can get up on special ammo and you can get up on spawn control and owning the part of the map that you like for some short amount of time. But it's really a race. And if you get an 1,000-point lead early on in the match, you really just have to stay neck and neck with them from that point out. I mean, you're racing to get the kills. I definitely have seen, you call them our chess matches, mm-hmm. you know, sort of see our strategies evolve and realize like, oh, well, I can run out the clock at this point. When you've got three top-tier pushers coming in on you, you're not running on the clock.
Unless way.
You're running, maybe, but you're not running out the clock.
So, Swain, you had an interesting week in Destiny. I mean, we were talking just earlier. You actually took a few days off. Is that correct?
I did. It felt longer than it actually was. I only took
did you miss it?
Two or so days off. I did, but I really wanted to talk about like trying to balance your real life with Destiny, because that's kind of what I tried to do earlier this week. I took a few days off. The day before I took a few days off, I was in the wrong mindset, and I noticed it like right away. I was like grumpy, and I wasn't like meshing well with my teammates, and I was kind of like just, you know, being an all around, you know,
a meanie, a real meanie.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, you know, it's playing too much. It kind of got to me, and I was just like, I need to concentrate on, you know, stuff outside of this, like hanging out with my fiance and, you know, going out to eat and just doing stuff that, you know, normal people do.
What if I don't have a fiance?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You have a cat. I mean.
Oh, okay. All right.
You could take your cat out.
She's a live-in cat, you know. That's a big stage.
But yeah, like I needed those days off. And I came back today kind of fresh, and it felt way different. Like I was more on top of, you know, my gun control and playing the game a little bit better than I was right before, you know, before I needed some time off. Mtash kind of brought this up in one of his videos.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't, like, I get stuck in these, like, you know, hours on hours of, you know, let's play the Crucible and let's like do this, grind it out for a while, do clash match or like skirmish match after skirmish match, and then we end up doing sweaties, mm-hmm. and then we end up playing Rocket League. And I get stuck in these like really long sessions, and he brings it up that like it's not always helping you improve, and I really took it to heart, and I want to focus more on going forward trying to keep my sessions short. Like I get home from work late, I work long hours, so get home from work late. I kind of just want to stick to like maybe like an hour or so of playing, and then maybe spend some time afterwards. Maybe I could still be in like party chat, but I want to review some of the matches I had, mm-hmm. and kind of like constructively spend my time instead of, you know, let me just grind and grind and grind. And he brings it up like you want to get your warm up, get your matches in, and then stop. You need to like control yourself, and then you review the matches, see what you need to change, and then the next time you go into the Crucible, you try to apply those.
Yeah, Tash's advice is really dead on in that regards. I mean, he even brings it up with other video games, and I mean, this applies to sports or any hobby, really. I mean, if you do something so much and you're just smashing that habit into your subconscious, you develop a bad one, and then all you're doing is really practicing that bad habit. But you really got to slow down and, you know, only do it a little bit. You're still getting something out of that, and that's tough to, you know, mentally consider.
I know you were having some trouble with that, Bones. I know you want to record your matches, but I think you do the same thing I do. You end up in these like little sessions because everybody's set, like it's a nice flow. Sometimes you're with your friends, you kind of get, you know, there's six people in the party chat and they're all trying to like buzz about, and you kind of get, you know, lose track of what you're, you know, this, trying to focus on getting better.
Definitely. You just want to, you know, this is why I hate control now. I'll say it. I hate it. It's this smash square revive blink shotgun die. I mean, you're so desperate to practice, and it's good that you get to experience more and more different scenarios. But when you start just going full speed like that, you're not stopping to consider what's not working. So just got to slow down a bit, you know, go out and enjoy the sunshine. That's hard to do.
And it also, I mean, if you're spending too much time, it'll affect you in the real life, you know, your job. You know, you don't want to spend too much time on this and have it actually have real world consequences.
Don't tell me what to do, Swain.
You're the boss of him.
I'm not obsessed,
I'm just passionate. Is that I need to go to the gym.
See, I make myself go to the gym first, and then it's a reward. You know, I found two things, and you guys kind of hit on that really worked for me. One of them is reviewing the matches. It really came about because I'm trying to save clips to put together a montage that hopefully doesn't embarrass myself. But it has put me in a rhythm because when I first started doing, I said, all right, I've got two dozen saved matches here. Let me try and go back and figure out what I thought was good about each of these. And I realized that it's a very different mode of, I mean, you're holding the controller in your hands. You could be playing along. It's very easy for me to put myself back in my head where I was at that moment. If I remember the match, I can remember what I was thinking. And I also spent a long time working my way through that big backlog. And so what I find now is that before I start playing, if I have any saved matches, I'll go ahead and watch them. I'll save any bits that I like. But I also kind of think, okay, where did I leave off yesterday? Not just like I'm eager to get back in it, but where was my head at? What was working for me? What are the, you know, what's the top thing on my list to not do that I did last time? And then when I'm winding down too, the other way, I might spend a little bit of time and say, okay, this match is so fresh in my memory. And, you know, I'm not going to sit and watch every match that I played, but I'll watch one or I'll watch little bits and pieces. And it bookends the experience in a way that I think gives your brain a time to work a little long term, because the game is so short term. It's so quick. You're just reacting that you don't give yourself a chance to really drive the lessons in, aside from just the sheer hours of it, unless mm-hmm. you can sort of take a step back and see it play out and not be responsible for staying alive at that point.
Well, this even goes for, like, if you do play PvE, and a lot of people complain, you know, every once in a while, like, they're getting tired of the same old things. Just take a break. I did it with my PvP this week, and you take a few time, like, a little bit of time off, come back, it'll be fresh, you'll enjoy the game.
I mean, I know for sure the moment I get salty, I have a bad match, you know, I play bad, and I'm angry that I play bad, and I don't see myself getting better, that's time to stop. And it might not be stop for the day, it might not be, you know, stop for the week, maybe it's just take a little break, but if I just blew it, you know, if I feel myself going on tilt, I'm not going to go back in. Just give it a little bit of time and figure out, remember why you're doing this.
I think there's, it works differently for everyone too, because I definitely get frustrated. If anyone dances after they snipe me, I'll start losing my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a way to, you can always stop and cool off. But if you push through that and trigger that moment in your head when you say, wait, I am going nuts right now, or I'm too frustrated and it's showing in my play. When you come to that conclusion in the middle of it, it can be really helpful to go, okay, deep breaths, next trials round, I'm just going to play it chill. And I've done that a couple times where I'm just so frustrated with how a few rounds go, and it's like, wait, hold on, cool off a bit. So, you know, there's...
Yeah, I'm here for fun.
You just got to know when it's happening, and that's the hardest thing to do is like call yourself on your saltiness. But if you can, you know, consciously become aware of that, that's the best step towards, you know, continuing to play in the right mindset instead of just losing your mind.
It also helps to have a good set of friends that can actually call you out.
Oh, and be like, hey, definitely. Yep.
You warm it up a little bit. Off tilt. Like, it's hard too. Like, some people you can't really be like, hey, chill out, because a lot of the relationships you make on Destiny are just over Destiny. Sure. So it's, you know, you're used to not offending someone.
Oh yeah.
So sometimes you just got to be like, hey, you need to chill. We're all here for fun. Let's continue to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a friend that you are concerned about, not concerned, but you know, you can tell that it's getting to them, just give it a shot and approach it in a calm way. It doesn't have to be like accusatory. You don't have to say, "Yo, dude, chill out. What's your deal?" Just say like, "Nah, we got this." You know, it's as simple as that. It's not so much like a, you know, "Let me be your therapist here." It's like, "Nah, dude, we're killing it. We got these guys. We know what's going on." I mean, and that helps even better.
So, Birds, I know you've been working on your basics as well.
Oh yeah.
What do you,
gentlemen?
What do you got up to this week?
I have seen the light.
Oh boy,
I found it. I'm here to share with you the good word and tell you that there is a land beyond. Yeah, I know. I'm going there. Well, so, okay. All right. So you heard me last time, and I was all salty because I'm not getting any better at this game. I'm frustrated because I get these little 1% edges, and then they disappear, and then I get it back after logging how many hours. And what I realized was, if you're sick of making just tiny, tiny, tiny little improvements, change it up entirely and really put yourself at a handicap. Because when you get good at it, you're going to get one of those big improvements back. So I'm going to be honest. I have not picked up a primary aside from the last word or thorn in a month easy. And look, I love them.
Guilty.
They're top tier. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to compete, you got to be competitive. You know,
not guilty.
You mix it up. I mean, and you know, I mixed up. Maybe there's a red death in there or something, but that's not really mixing it up.
Mr. High and Mighty over here with his Mita multi-tool on the Titan character.
I'm like Sanic.
You cannot, just waiting for September, man. Just hoping the light shines on you. No, I changed it up completely. I decided, you know, I like the last word. I like the cowboy gun. I like the old school feel. So I say with my primary, let's go as old school as you possibly can. And then I'm going to...
Like Seattle.
I'm not convinced you are familiar with Seattle. Are you thinking of like Anchorage or something, or Nova Scotia?
I'm pretty sure I know exactly where Seattle is. And you're talking about No Land Beyond, the gun that came from Seattle, because it's clearly an Old West town.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Continue on with your thing. I don't care.
I'm going to have trouble letting the Seattle... Oh, no, okay, I'll explain it to you later. We'll sync up after the show.
Sure, whatever.
He's calling in on a cup and string.
The sound quality is pretty good, considering.
I have to say, you know, for a megaphone or a xylophone, or I don't even know what they use.
It's the old cup and string. I picked up the No Land Beyond, and I wanted to change it up. I didn't want to pick up my shotgun because I was so frustrated about having to get in so close that, you know, it's high risk, it's high reward. And at the same time, I was sick of being so far away and staring down a sniper scope and losing all my context. I have been hooked up to No Land Beyond and a fusion rifle. And I've got to say, it has made me a much better player in a short amount of time. And I'll just say right off the bat, I've been a little unfair to fusion rifles. Fusion rifles honestly, right? If you can land all the bolts or even most of the bolts, that's a one-hit kill at pretty good ranges. You do have to account for the charge time. But if you're playing defensively, if you've got a blink shotgunner pushing in on you, and you blink backwards and you keep that gap so he's not in his range, you are in your range. And while you're up in the air, while you're blinking and you're trying to get your bearings, that's when you charge up that fusion rifle. As long as you can keep your bead on him, that's a one-hit kill right there. And it really does work at a range that doesn't put you in danger in the same way a shotgun does and doesn't rob you of your situational awareness in the way a sniper can, unless you're continually... scoping. Mm-hmm. And then pair that up with No Land Beyond, which is such a difficult gun to use. But I it's the truth. I had a revelation. I realized something about the way I aimed that the No Land Beyond made obvious. And it is a gun that it punishes you for mistakes that other guns will cover up. The last word, you aim for center of mass, you hold the trigger, and somewhere in those eight bullets, you're probably going to get them. If you miss a shot with No Land Beyond, even if you get your reload canceled just right, it's going to be a sec before you can take that next shot. It's also got a scope that is not even a scope, a sight, an iron sight, a circle, a metal circle at the end that is unlike any other gun in the game. And it jitters. It's hard to follow. It's a pretty tricky thing. But it makes something very, very clear. If you're not aiming for headshots, it becomes very apparent. And what I realized was that when I'm rocking Thorn or when I'm rocking The Last Word, I'm not aiming for headshots. I'm aiming for center of mass. I get a lot of headshot kills because I'm letting the recoil take me up there. But No Land Beyond does not have recoil. I mean, it does, but that does not become a factor. And I found myself, okay, I shot him in the gut. I got my 132 damage, and then he kills me. I'm going to aim higher than I think I need to. And aim higher than I think I need to. It feels weird to be walking around with your scope even just hovering above his head a little bit. But that's what gets it. And it was an eye-opener for me. I mean, you can really get away with it, or in my case, not even realize it was happening with a lot of other guns. And isn't so easy to tell as when you have a sniper rifle out and you've got your perfect little dot in the center. But I'm telling you guys, even if it's just for like a fun, sweaty match, No Land Beyond and a fusion rifle, it is going to handicap you. You're going to feel ridiculous, but then you're going to start to realize, okay, this is a one hit gun kill combination that can work at any range and that is never going to put you too close to be scared to get capped by a blank shotgunner. And can work across the map. It is a deadly combination. What I found was, as soon as I got over that hurdle of getting only heavy kills or only super kills for a match, and you start to get into the rhythm of it, I felt that huge, huge improvement that I haven't felt in a long time. And, you know, maybe it's not going to translate over to trials. Maybe it's not going to translate over to other guns. But personally, for me, it revitalized me, and it kind of opened my eyes up to kind of what we've been talking about. It's so important to mm-hmm. change it up and not just keep trying the same thing.
So, Birds, we didn't really cover it last week with No Land Beyond. It's actually two of the things we didn't really cover, No Land Beyond and fusion rifles. Do you think the changes coming up will make them better?
The fusion rifles are hard to say. I mean, people saying, oh, you're just nerfing fusion rifles again. And that's exactly the voice they say it in. You know you sound like that. I'm not convinced it is. It's tweaking some of the stats for some of the archetypes. My particular favorite, the give-take equation, which is the same as your plug one. It's the same as your purifier. It's one of those high-impact ones that you put accelerated coils on to sort of get all your stats in the right place. It feels great, and looking at the changes that they had proposed, I don't really see a huge issue. Yeah, you're going to get a little bit of tweaks to some of your stats, but it really seemed on par with what they were doing with scout rifles, which is kind of not much. Mm-hmm. No Land Beyond definitely has some issues, and there's some specific stuff. Some of the scope oddities are getting improved a little bit.
That and the weapon handling, like, it's going to make it quicker.
Right.
Is what they're saying.
If you're struggling with No Land Beyond, keep going until you get snapshot unlocked. That is a big, big, big difference. But yeah, I think that's going to help, especially face it with a No Land Beyond. If you miss that first shot, you have to switch to your secondary to finish them off or hope that you're at a distance. So improved handling stats are definitely going to help there. I mean, I think they've tried to preserve, and I said this last week, the spirit of a lot of these exotics. And No Land Beyond is a very high-risk, high-reward thing. If you can get it right in the right hands, it is a game-ender. I mean, you can compete with it if, you know, except, you know, against all but the very best top-tier players. And it's hard to do, and they're going to keep it hard to do. I don't think they're going to do anything to jeopardize it. I think it might feel a little bit better when they're done with it. But this is my new thing, guys. I'm going to be maybe a little Thorin in Last Word, but you're going to see me pulling out the No Land Beyond.
Can we get that in writing? Boy.
I cannot wait until the sweaties, until you guys get killed with No Land Beyond and you feel so bad. And a fusion rifle, I melt you or I shoot you with a cowboy gun from the back of a horse, because I'm going to have a horse too. And you guys are going to feel so bad. Put it in the highlight reel.
Does it do tricks?
Yeah. Like a sparrow? That's important. Barrel rolls?
Yeah. You can kind of tip over to the side and not be able to get back up like on a sparrow. I haven't gotten mine to do a barrel roll, but we're working on it.
You know, if my history serves me correctly, I believe that, you know, the Redcoats versus the Bluecoats in the Battle of Seattle, you know, they took about 5 minutes to reload those things. They had to stick the ramrod down there and pack the gunpowder. So, you know, if you're worried about the reload time on No Land Beyond, that thing is lightning fast compared to, you know, what Bird's hometown is like. That place was crazy.
I don't like to share a lot of my personal life with you guys, but I'm going to admit I am a reenactor. I do reenact the battle of the red guys versus the blue guys on my home territory. We shoot over the hills. We shoot through the rains. We shoot muskets at each other. Our horses tip over. Just don't tell anybody. It's kind of embarrassing.
You know what I hate about those reenactments is they never get the details right. I mean, there's all these guys with guns all aimed at other guys with guns, and there's no red lens flare from a sniper rifle.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Where are those?
I'll have you know I'm a stickler for accuracy. Last year, in the first minutes of the reenactment, I died of cholera.
Oh, wow.
Yep, our supply lines got tainted. I drank some bad water, and I just was curled over on the side for the rest of the reenactment. Very authentic.
Well, off of that depressing note about our nation's past, we have things to look forward to, guys. I mean, we have been looking at these weekly updates as the Taken King draws ever nearer, and we sort of agreed that we would kind of talk about the future. We don't want to speculate. We don't want to make suggestions because that's silly and dumb, but we do have a lot of cool things that are going to be impacting the Crucible in a big way. So I wanted to discuss this weekly update briefly, where Deej introduces us to a few different weapon manufacturers. And I'm pretty excited for this stuff. Did you guys take a look at it?
Yeah, it's nice to have these different manufacturers, and it kind of adds a uniqueness into the weapons that, you know, it wasn't really there before. Mm-hmm. More like the Omalon is like really futuristic, and the Soros is so sleek, and the Hake is like it's just like a run of the mill gun, and it does what it does. I do like that they are. It was kind of touched on in the last weekly update. They are kind of making these guns have you make the choices like tougher. Like they want to make it so that every gun is not the same.
Yeah.
But these different manufacturers make, you know, certain, I don't want to call them archetypes, but they make certain types of guns that have different, you know, options. So, like, Hake is kind of, you know, just in your face, let's make this offensive. Your perks are towards the gun rather than the, you know, the person handling the gun. Mm-hmm. Whereas Omalon is going to affect you as you're running around. It's like perks like Battle Runner, where it makes you faster when you get like a precision kill. And that's where it kind of, I like that they're going to change them. They're making it so the gun is more unique, even down to the legendaries. Like legendaries right now aren't as unique as obviously as the exotics, but This makes it interesting.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this because I think, like I said before, the perks and reforging was such a huge change to the game that I don't think people truly grasped how big that was. And it seems like they're continuing to improve on that, which is so cool because, you know, as it says from, you know, fan of the show, John Wisniewski.
Hey, John.
He's talking about...
Hey. We're fans of you, too.
Yeah, this is so cool. Yeah. Keep it together, guys. Come
on. All right. We're cool. That's it. Back in check.
But he's talking about the different stats of the guns, too. And I think that was touched on in the big 2.0 announcement that we couldn't really, you know, fully unpack. But, you know, with these Hake guns, it says they're sort of balanced. And I kind of like that because sometimes I have such trouble deciding on something like, you know, the injection mold and reinforced barrel kind of perks where it's just like, oh, but I love my reload speed, or I want stability, but oh, I don't want range, that kind of thing. And I like this, you know, these gun archetypes that seem to be balanced. But then on the other hand, you got the Omalon that, you know, they can really adapt to a person's style. If there's a specific kind of player like you, Swain, who prefers scout rifles in a game where scouts don't prevail, you might have a ton of fun with this thing. I mean, I saw in a couple previews there was a scope that highlights players,
right?
Like everything else gets darker and you can see a glow. That's amazing. I mean, that's the ultimate kind of sniper setup. So I'm really excited for the different stat levels and then the different perk combinations. I mean, we got Syros that says it has the most perks. Sounds like it's such a flexible type of gun. And that's going to change the game so drastically, just like Reforging did with House of Wolves. I think we're going to see this huge new wave of like, oh man, what perks do I get? What gun type do I get? What stats do I adjust? I'm so excited for that because I love, you know, I love piecing apart those things and picking a gun that really feels like it fits me. And that's going to be so cool.
That Sora Scout rifle is sexy.
It looks so good.
I know. I was so excited. I'm so excited to see that they've taken a brand like Syros because, you know, Syros regime has had its rise and fall and maybe its rise again, but no one can contest that it is a beautiful, beautiful model and that there's a style that's cohesive. Mm-hmm. And they're not just going to say, okay, this is the, you know, Syros makes an auto rifle. They've built models for every weapon archetype. So we can, you know, there might have been some of this Syros already in the Syros regime, but now we can see it play out in all the different archetypes, in all the different weapon types. And really have some better choices to make. I mean, if you find that Hake is a good fit for you, you know, you like the perks that they do, you like the stats, it seems to work well with you, but you're playing on, you know, Anomaly and Shores of Time twice in a row, you can stick with the Hake, but you can pull out your shotgun on one, you can pull out your sniper on another, you can pull out your pulse rifle on one, you can pull out your hand cannon on another. To see that it's not just a bunch of throwaway guns from vendors that we never heard of. It's really sort of a vision for when you think of Syros, you fill in the blank for what weapon type you want. You know it's going to have these attributes to it.
For sure.
That I think just add some identity to the guns that we don't really have. There's so many standalones. There's not a lot of cohesive identities.
Well, I mean, I already mentioned that I restarted a character just to design the face. And this is so unrelated to PvP for a second here, but I love aesthetics about this game. I love how armor fabrics look on Warlocks. That's truly why I fell in love with this game, is because everything looked so pretty. And it's kind of crazy to realize that, like, Hake has been making guns in this game since September, where you remember those gray, orange, black Crucible weapons like Final Boss, the sniper? Yeah. That was made by Hake, but there is just no way to know that. And here we've got guns with identities, and it's going to represent you and your style. So instead of, I mean, hopefully, instead of inspecting someone and going, well, this dude uses a Fell Winters, someone's going to be like, oh, okay, this guy's got the Hake
Syros guy
shotgun. Yeah, or he's a Syros player. I can feel him out, and I might respond differently to that. And that's just, you know, we're adding so many layers to the guns, and it's kind of the future we all dream of, where everyone can use something a little different, and we're going to see so many guns in the Crucible.
Variety.
So the future is looking good.
Variety.
I don't know if you guys noticed that, you know, in the scout rifle picture for the Syros, go on that update. I think those might be some exotic arms. I don't know.
Like, they look like, what would it be, Arc Sunbreakers?
Yeah. Oh, they've got these coils and electricity. Ooh, I'm kind of excited.
I wish I knew what you guys were talking about. We actually don't have internet in Seattle, so I'm just going to
just assume that.
Yeah. Have to visualize it. Yeah.
When you want to rejoin the real world and come to an actual city, let us know.
All right, I'm going to head back to the armpit of Southern California in just a little bit. Don't worry.
Good to hear.
All right, well, anything else we wanted to cover?
Are you doing okay food-wise? Like, do you have, like, medicine there?
Our stores are going to hold out for at least another couple weeks, I think, before the carriage brings in the next shipment from over the pass.
Well, I don't want to, you know, an Oregon Trail scenario where you've died of dysentery and we've got shows to record, so... As long as you're staying smart, I don't know why you're visiting a ghost town on vacation, but
just ford this river, we're going to be okay. This is the last
hurdle.
Seattle sounds terrible.
There is one last thing about this update that we're not going to cover too much because it's way too much speculation, but they kind of just briefly throw it out there that weapons will be tailored to subclasses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around it yet, but...
Let's not. It's too tough.
Just sure. Think...
We don't even know.
It's out there, and it's going to be coming with the Taken King.
Oh, urge to speculate is very strong, but we'll wait and see. I'm sure we're going to hear more about it in the weekly update, so... I go from there.
Anyways, back to Thorn.
Right, yeah. Let's be honest, we're all back. I will say that. I enjoy having a choice of perks, you know, to not feel dumb for picking something other than send it on a gun is going to be pretty cool to, you know, I imagine my futuristic space rifle, it's probably got some switches on it. I can be like, oh, there's some of these guys coming up, flip some switches, different colored lights show up. And, I got my mode set, and actually make some choices instead of just saying, this is what the meta says you should use. And
oh, that meta.
That's it. That's what all the top streamers do, guys.
Okay, so Birds, don't freak out. But what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to edit in music in post-production. And you can actually combine different layers of audio. So
what?
Right now we're going to go to a musical break.
Is this black magic?
Yeah, and it's going to come through the computer. So just like chill. We're going
to
be back in a second.
Try
don't freak out,
calm.
Okay? Oh, speaking of musical break, can I do my rap song now?
Buns. Well, maybe we'll just save it for the end.
Ugh, whatever. I'll just play the normal middle
it'll
song.
It'll be good at the end.
Hey, everybody. Bones here. I want to say hello to the new listeners we've gotten over the past week or two, and hello to the people that have been tuning in since the very beginning when we just wanted to talk about the Crucible. This has been an incredible experience that has continued to be so fun, and we're really excited about all the positive feedback we've got from Reddit this week. It's been a big week for us. We even got a shout out from Bungie's John Wisniewski, and that's incredible.
Hi.
It's like a dream come true. Swain says hi. And we just wanted to say thank you, and we would so appreciate it if you continue to, you know, share the podcast or review it on iTunes. If you got time, no pressure. We're not going to, you know, you don't need to subscribe to our YouTube channel and smash that like button. But if you like it, follow us on Twitter and things like that. We love this, and we love you. Let's keep it going.
All right. Well, joining us on the line, we have a very special guest. If you've spent any time in Crucible Playbook, you have read and you have learned and maybe watched something from this guy. He's going to teach us all a little bit about the finer points of sniping and the numbers game. Prodigy, thank you for joining us today.
The gunsmith himself.
Welcome.
Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Prodigy.
So for people who aren't familiar with you, could you maybe just give us a little bit of a background, how you got started in gaming, how you got started in Destiny, and sort of what your style is of Destiny play? If we run into you in the Crucible, what should we be looking out for?
Well, first of all, you're definitely going to be running into me in the Crucible because I'm down to, like, no Nightfalls and, like, gotta get that Crucible in. I started Destiny on release 2 weeks afterwards. I actually had a friend. We were at a Walmart, and he pointed out, hey, that's Destiny, that's a cool game, and I was like, oh man, I should try that. Anyways, he quit a long time ago, but I'm still playing.
Yep. That sounds
we
familiar.
All are very
yeah.
familiar.
And, yeah, well, this is actually my first shooter, and I like being prepared for things, so, like, before I started, like, learning how to do shooters, and got into the Crucible, I, like, read up on forums and stuff, and all the great wisdom of all those who had played other shooters. And you learn a lot of cool things about gun mechanics and stuff that developers add in and how to, of course, exploit those mechanics. Exploit in a good way, of course. And that's basically how Destiny happened. And for me, that's my story.
So, I mean, and this isn't hyperbole, you literally wrote the guide on sniping. Like, if you go to Playbook and you look at the sniping guide, you sort of walk us through all the different aim mechanics. So I guess I'm curious, I mean, are you 100% a sniper? And, you know, it's one thing to sort of read these things in a guide. How do you take that into your gameplay? How do you focus on these things in the moment?
Well, Some people would argue that I don't take these things into my gameplay.
Okay, fair enough.
More critical folks, such as myself. Again, always got to keep that critical sort of lens.
Absolutely.
Your own gameplay, but as far as that guide, it's more of a basic guide. It's more of like I just started sniping sort of thing, and like you really want to just get started. As far as myself, I'm trying to just. I mean, there's really no guidebook no guidebook for me, so I kind of have to watch videos and see what other people are doing. Xbox DVR is a great place to do that. You can kind of dig through, shameless here, but I dig through War Bulletproof's clips, and I see the kind of stuff he does, and I dig through other good snipers, like, I see KJV's clips, and I see the kind of stuff he does, and I sort of break down step-by-step what he's doing before he goes in for a snipe, what kind of motions he's doing, what kind of habits that good snipers have, what kind of habits good players have, and positioning, and gun skill, and all that sort of stuff. You break it down, and then you sort of teach it to yourself, and you decide, is this something that you can practically apply to play? And then if you can, or you can sort of implement that, those kind of things in a practical way, then you sort of do.
Well, you're pretty, you know, specific with the numbers. And I mean, I think we get units from you that are just, you know, clearly not found in the game. Not a lot of people will go to that effort. Are you sitting there with a stopwatch, or are you, you know, how are you finding that, you know, such precise details? I mean, the difference between snapshot on a Herbin Evelyns versus on Icebreaker. I mean, how are you going to that detail, and what drives you to, you know, look at it from such a, you know, and under a microscope, basically?
Lots of free time.
Of course.
That's a start. Yep.
It helps.
That's a start. It definitely does help. As far as measurements, what's great about this game, I guess, what makes what I do possible, or for there to be a demand for writing stuff like I write, there's not really so much of a, there aren't really hard numbers or raw numbers to deal with. So you have to find some pretty intricate ways to measure things, and find ways to break stuff down that you normally wouldn't break down, or would be broken down for you in, say, a guide somewhere. Basically, it ends up being kind of like a puzzle. It's just like a fun sort of thing you do on a Saturday. You have, like, Reddit open. Or I have Reddit open, I should say. And I have, like, a post open. I'm like, what kind of stuff can I type here? And, like, one of the things to come up with, like, topics to write about, the question is asked, and, I mean, that's usually where I'll be. Mm-hmm. Usually if the question's asked multiple times, like, I make one thread, and then the question gets repeated over and over again. I'm like, I'll start getting curious about it, and I'll look at the data, find that there's not really much there, and I'll dig for deeper data, and then I end up in the API trying to figure out what all the weird HTML numbers mean and stuff, and then I figure it out, and then I have information.
Well, speaking of guides, actually, we, you know, some, when we think of guides, especially for reforging and things, we're talking about the perks. What do you think about the perks? I mean, numbers wise or gameplay wise, do you think that, you know, we were talking about it earlier today about how they're going in such specific and incredible directions where they're going to provide a lot of different perks and different stats on weapons. How have you felt about the game and how perks influence gameplay? And do you have any, like, you know, cool hopes for the future, you know, with the different types of weapon manufacturers? Do you have any thoughts on that?
As far as my hopes, let's start out currently. Currently, I feel like the perk selection is very, very large and sort of robust. But the problem is you end up with some perks doing things that other perks just don't do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can usually break perks down into categories. Like, the perk will directly aid how directly change how your gun functions, directly change how your gun acts in a certain situation. And then from there, it's simply measuring whether that situation occurs in PvP or not. And from what I see now, we mostly have, like, one or two options in each slot. And sometimes we'll have, like, three or four, which actually makes it worthwhile, but makes writing the guides and discerning worthwhile. But other times, you know, we only have one or two perks. As far as the future, I think it'd be worthwhile for us to see something more difficult decisions to make, like perhaps instead of having a hidden hand perk on the left slot and an unflinching on the right slot, you have unflinching and something, and maybe something that reduces your zoom in half. You have to pick between the two, and maybe the unflinching perk actually does remove all of the flinch from your sniper rifle, and then you actually have a decent decision. And you have some players who like X gameplay picking one perk, and some players who like Y gameplay picking another perk, which is hopefully what I would like to see, but that would require Bungie to actually have more versatile, perk selection, better perks, and have perks that can sort of actually compete for your interest.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one issue that we run into is that a lot of the perk choices, I don't want to say they're bad. There's some clunkers out there for sure. But I think it's sort of, you know, the tendency when you approach rolling a gun from a competitive point of view to really just narrow down to a single role that is the role that you want. and, you know, just recently, you know, I asked you the question, all right, we have injection mold, we have snapshot, and we have quick draw, and they're all going to affect your ADS speed. But how can you actually make a recommendation? And what I worry is that so much of the time we end up sort of as a community sort of deciding which one is the good one. And sometimes we pick wrong. I mean, we've mentioned this before, but I think Ambush Scope is the perfect example where that's the good one. The rest of them suck. And it turns out there's...
I was sold on that one.
Right? We all were. We drank the Kool-Aid. What it turns out is that there's actually like three or four options that... Some of them are pretty similar. Some of them have advantages and disadvantages. You know, sometimes we're just going to narrow it down to aggressive ballistics, and that's the one that you want. But having the numbers there, I think, makes it a little more difficult to narrow your blinders down to one choice, especially if that choice may not actually be the right choice to make. So, I think there's a lot of potential with perk selection and role selection that we're kind of exploring, but a lot of the times we're just playing the slot machine, waiting for all sevens to come up, and then we stop because the internet said that was the good one.
Perk selection, it definitely is a slot machine. The cool thing about perk selection is it's not like landing on all sevens. And some people think, you know, I used to think, you know, with landing on all sevens, you know, kind of a thing, but it's how you get interested in a perk or get interested with snipers. It's more of a scope thing. I mean, the other perks are pretty solid. It's pretty easy to figure out. You want the hidden hand unflinching, and then the middle perk is becoming less ambiguous as people measure that video more accurately. And somebody actually did that because I don't have a frame by frame tester. Anyways, long story short, I was sold on short gaze. Based on the zoom and the data I found, and then I tried Longview SLR-10 and realized that the 10% zoom really wasn't that much of a big deal, mm-hmm. and then realized that I could be comfortable with either scope, and that they both had their own sort of advantages, and both were really top tier competitive scopes to use, and then. You have quick draw and snapshot being all similar, so similar, and now you've doubled the number of perks per column that you can have, which has an exponential sort of effect on your chances of getting the right roll, and then you're rolling, and now you have four different roles you can go for. And you can be like, hey, this is my sniper. This is how I built the sniper. This is my god roll.
Yep.
And there's only four god rolls, but it's my god roll.
Yeah. It's so interesting too, because I feel like, you know, especially in the first weeks of House of Wolves where our reforging guides came out and it became pretty clear that you need hidden hand and all that kind of thing. Even now I'm, you know, reevaluating the perks I have because, you know, of course I mentioned it on the podcast. I was going for that Herb Benevolence with hidden hand, unflinching and short gaze. And I recently just put on Ambush again and switched from injection mold or whatever to snapshot, and it's the same gun, but I'm playing with it differently and realizing there's benefits to both. So I think it's kind of amazing, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface on what perks, you know, how they feel, because we have the numbers, sure, but that means a different feeling for everyone. So the amount of new perks that will be added, it's almost overwhelming considering that.
It really, really does. And to quote someone from the playbook, somebody with a thread, can't remember, but it really is easy to sometimes put out Kool-Aid. But I mean, if a sniper really, or any gun for that matter, feels more comfortable to you, it might be a disadvantage. I mean, again, it's important to know the numbers and be informed. But if after being informed, you truly feel as if the gun works and plays better for you, then that's more power to you, because sometimes, you know, numbers just don't quantify things. like, for instance, the ambush scope, I mean, for all we know, there are other sort of factors that are just so far hidden in the gun mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Cache. I have this weird, like, feeling that there's, like, a hidden cache of, like, all these numbers. Oh, and they
we're
have
never going to see them. They're locked deep in the vault. Yeah.
All the bungee devs just playing in their sandbox, and all the sandbox has every little grain of sand has a label on it.
You know, Pod, you've written a guide before. You know, you wrote the Sniper Reforged guide. I've got a couple too, and you get a huge number of comments on them that are basically just kind of what you call like mother may I sort of questions that are like, I got this. Is this good? And the answer is like, I don't know.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Maybe not.
Use it. You tell me if it's good. Post in the yeah. thread. And I would encourage anyone who's listening who is looking to a crucible scientist like Prodigy, and thank you so much for your work. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is us as a community deciding what we like, what fits for us, and telling people about it that really drives a lot of that science happening. So prove it for yourself.
So, Plod, we are all about improving and kind of getting better at a Crucible here on the podcast. I want to hear what you're working on. You working on anything in particular as far as your gameplay, your gunplay?
Oh, gameplay, gunplay. Oh, dear. gameplay. Right now I'm working mostly on bringing that sniper into closer quarters. I mean, I've gotten into closer. I kind of want to bring it into more of like a three dimensions, you know, keep it over time, you know, get some movement in, particularly slide snipes, blink snipes, just making sure I have that in my repertoire, and just making sure I have the basics down and the fundamentals of getting that quick aim down that I can sort of know it like the back of my hand, so that when I go for a motion that will be there. And so far it's working well, but you know, there's always more to improve on, and of course, bringing that into more challenging conditions, playing sweaties. I rarely get to play sweaties. I have so few people on my friends list who do them. but luckily, I've met a few people who are solid challenges. And shout out Karmic Elk.
Shout out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. but he's awesome. But... yeah, you know, just taking the sniper into more challenging situations, more challenging players, more challenging repertoire, moving around corners, how I deal with isolated scenarios, and how I deal with isolated scenarios in larger sort of meta, like map control, stuff like that, like larger four dimensions in the game. I'm here, they're there, and they are there, and I am here, and he's there, and he's there, and I'm here, and I have to get the snipe off kind of game.
Sure. You know? Well, you know, it's very different, you know, sniping when there's four other humans all trying to kill you versus, you know, jumping around in the Ember Caves practicing your sweeps. well, so, I mean, let's take it back to basics. Let's say, and this is not true, I'm actually kind of so-so, but let's say I'd never picked up a sniper rifle before, and I've got every bad habit in the world. Get me started right. Tell me what I need to know to not embarrass myself. Give myself a chance to start learning the real magic of it.
Turn your sensitivity down. That's a step one. Whether or not
to
you
turn
put
it
on
down to like 8 or 7 or 9.
Like 2.
Okay.
No. I mean, of course, sensitivity is. I mean, that's your own thing. I'm just saying for practicing. If you want to really look at how you aim and look at your mechanics. I mean, from the very start in practice, it's good to start at a lower sensitivity. If after like 10 minutes you say, hey, that's cool, I snipe like that, and you jump back up to like 7 or 8 or whatever, that's cool. If you're going into sniping, I mean, the first step is to get the basics down. You want to make sure, first of all, that you can hit a stationary target. I mean, it sounds really, really, really basic, but I mean, if you really are new to an FPS, and I was I was new to this game, and I think we all kind of were. Destiny has its own feel to it. It's very, very unique from other shooters. Mm-hmm. Just making sure that you can feel the aim assist, you feel the hitboxes when you're over them, and you get those off, and then you work on speed, how fast you get it on a stationary target. Then maybe you look for a moving target. You go from there. Then from there, you do some motion on a moving target, and you go for speed from there, and you look to get consecutive shots off and do it as fast as you can and keep track of your accuracy, that kind of stuff. and watching your sort of habits, and then sort of saying, oh, hey, I moved my reticle over here when it should be over here. Maybe I have a problem with how my left thumb does its pulling motion, and I need to work on that. And very, very specific, but there's a months implied in this whole narrative of just...
Wait, so this isn't going to work like in a week?
Oh, in a week. Oh, yeah, no, in a week, get your stationary targets.
Yeah, okay.
Well, get your fast stationary targets. Make sure you're keeping track of where players are. Be careful. A lot of players will run right into the middle of lanes. If you see a lot of shots in montages in general from the same position, it's because those positions work, and specifically pub stomps. And it's because players run into lanes a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't be a player in a montage. I guess.
Hey, Birds, what do you know about that?
Thing you need to learn about sniping.
Yeah, my license plate holder says that.
Don't be a player in a montage. Yeah, but I mean, make good decisions as far as what lanes you enter, because there's other snipers. You're not the only one. Respect the sniper. Like, if you see a sniper with a scope, and you see that beautiful red glare that Bungie gives you in this game, which is both a godsend and to some like casual pandering. I don't know. Either way, but it's there, so use it. If you see a sniper hard scoping, don't challenge. If you really want to be pro, sit down next to the lane. Sit down next to the lane and like use your third person camera to see where they are. They have to react to you, and if you know exactly where they are, you aren't doing the reacting, so you might actually win that hard scope. But respect the sniper.
So we've been talking a little bit about the 2.0 update that came out last week. Do you have any quick thoughts about like what's in the future of these the meta with the guns coming out?
Not auto rifles. Maybe, I'm just kidding. No, I really do like that Bungie is acknowledging the problem. We asked for changes and they gave us changes. That's the cool part, you know. We got changes. The problem is I don't think they were so much tailored for the upper, what's the word?
Tier?
Upper echelon?
Upper echelon of play. We sort of have this thing in Destiny where the guns sort of trickle down. You have a few guys using one gun, and then the few guys watching their streams using that gun, and then sure enough, you have the gun everywhere in the Crucible about a month later, and then people address it as a problem. And I feel like this doesn't really address that. Thorn, still going to be used almost exactly how it would be used. Mm-hmm. Thorn's definitely not... We might see some newcomers in the sort of sweaty scene, competitive scene, if that's the word for it. But Thorn, it's that DOT mechanic that really, if it's there, it's just not gonna really change anything. I think we call it the Thorn Arc Bolt. It's still just as viable, free information, keeping a player out of the game. I don't know if they're gonna reduce the range and accuracy enough for you to get off, to keep you from getting off body shots. But if you land that Thorn body shot, I believe it's, I don't use Thorn that often, but it's 58, and then tick, 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 tick from there. I mean, that's keeping you no shields down to one shot for a total of 8-ish to 12-ish seconds after you account for, like, recovery time and positioning map. And, you know, it really keeps you out of the game. And I'm all for a meta and having powerful guns, but Thorn sort of... It's sort of the powerful gun that actually does force you to use it. Otherwise, you're actually very, very literally out of the game, and you're out of the competition. As far as the game is played, you can sort of dance from one Thorn dot to another, and that really doesn't change with the update. I think we're going to be seeing less Thorn two shots. First of all, because certain armor builds will be able to avoid the Thorn two shot. But other than that, we're going to be seeing Thorn used exactly as it is now.
I think what's interesting is we keep, you know, we're also hopeful, and there's clearly going to be some changes, and we'll definitely see a lot of different guns rise to the occasion. But I think we obviously will see the same good guns, and we're going to have to learn to counter those, but just in a slightly different way. So, you know, everyone can't suddenly be thinking, yeah, well, Thorn is out of the picture. We're still going to be dealing with Thorn. It's just going to be kind of different this time.
Yeah, I certainly don't mean to say that Thorn is going to be the dominant gun. I'm just saying it's still,
right,
it's still going to be very much in the front runner, and that's going to sort of be what you're going to be looking to sort of counter, and it's still going to very much be that way. But I guess you have more sort of opportunities and scenarios in the actual play to sort of insert whatever gun that you prefer or whatever makes you feel comfortable into a more competitive scenario. And if it catches on in the upper echelons and it passes down, then maybe we'll see a diversity of guns and the usage statistics that get published in the next balancing update. That could be in 5 months.
Well, so we're in the pure speculation territory here, but
yeah,
we've been coming here more and more often.
as soon as September comes, we're done. We're done. Yeah. We're playing the game we got. But well, so let me ask. So I know you're carrying a sniper, so you're probably not going to be going to Thorn. You know, thinking about the balance notes, thinking about, you know, what might be getting a boost and some of the new gun models released today. I mean, what are you looking forward to maybe as a new primary to pair up with that sniper?
Oh my gosh. They did drop the hand cannon magazine down by one. And I am feeling lucky. So I have this ill will with Luck in the Chamber final round.
Oh, mini
braced frame.
Sure.
And I think that'd be fun to try out. But really, probably, I'm going to probably try out the auto rifles and see if they've really made them worth using. And then what I'm hoping for is that maybe with the increase in precision with Last Word, it might be practical to get that 2-hit headshot off. And if it is practical, I'll be doing it. So that might be a thing. Again, with any balancing update, I'd imagine I'd have to play around with the guns and figure out what works for me. Maybe it is Thorn. Who knows? Maybe they'll make it so close range that my sniper will be able to compete with Thorn at long range, and then I'll have Thorn as a close range gun. Who knows? I mean, it's just an example of the various things that could happen with the patch once we see how Bungie has actually changed has sort of taken their little individual labeled grains of sand and moved them away around in such ways that we can't exactly know, but will feel.
So it's starting to become a tradition on the podcast. Favorite maps, favorite game modes. If you've got half an hour to spend playing Destiny, what do you want to see come up?
Okay, Burning Shrine on Skirmish with five of my friends playing sweaties.
Sounds about right.
Perfect.
There we go. Or Trials, I guess. Trials is cool.
Yeah, it seems like the Trials maps are a good match then.
It was going to be the permanent Trials map.
Can we just this weekend is going to be bonkers.
Oh, I don't know. Random? Oh boy.
You know, we got to find a new banner to put up at the top of the subreddit that somehow, I don't know, you put a pair of dice up there. Do you just take a little windows from each of them? Cool. So anything else you wanted to cover?
That one sniper lane on Pantheon. That's about it. I'm just kidding.
Oh, we all know it well.
Yeah, I spend too much time staring down a scope on that lane.
Remember to check the other one. They're always in the other one.
They run back and forth between them. Scope, scope, scope.
If they're not in the one, they're in the other one. It's usually, that's Prodigy's TLDR guide right there.
You heard it, folks. Take
you
to the Pantheon.
You just run past them, right?
You just go way, way outside. Just creep around the edges. Okay, well, Prodigy, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Anyone who wants to learn more of your wisdom, come join us at the subreddit. Check out your post. Check out the sniper guide, the sniper reforged guide. Anything you want to plug? Twitter account? Where can people find you?
You can find me on my Reddit, Prodigy. You can find me on Xbox, Prodigy. You can find me on YouTube,
Prodigy.
Yeah,
you kind of got a
theme.
It's consistent.
Prodigy the Oddity, actually. Prodigy the Oddity.
You got that identity. That's what's important.
Brand recognition, very consistent.
We'll have to have you back on to discuss the future perks when the Taken King comes out. I'm sure we'll have a lot of guides showing up. So I think everyone needs to get ready for some amazing threads that are going to be really discussing the new gun. So I'm excited for that.
Or I'll be in college. Who knows?
No. Don't do that.
It's cheaper.
Play Destiny.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, priorities. Come on.
It is, actually.
Yeah, it is.
The numbers. It is cheaper.
You can get the collector's edition and it won't feel as bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining.
All righty. Thank you.
All right, big thanks to Prodigy for stopping by. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Crucible Radio and on Reddit on the Crucible Playbook sub.
Can I do that rap song now?
Oh.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
Let's get it over with.
It's Dry Bones, everybody, and it's time that you know. We got tips and tricks and highlight clips and shaders that glow. We're gonna sit down and talk with all the best Destiny players. This isn't Halo, you know that, we're not playing Slayer. There's Bones and Swain and there's Famous Birds. You can't physically see us, but I know that you heard all that talk in the tower about a dope-ass show, a little podcast that we like to call Crucible Radio. I can see across to the heavy ammo, so I'll spawn snipe you on Twilight. Yeah, you can say that I know the back of my hand worse than I know this map. So many grenades with this chest plate. You can say I'm in the chamber because I'm lucky like that. Out of the way, because they're capping A, and you know that's my flat cap. We got Swain Sash with the Fist of Havoc, Birds with the short gaze automatic. Me? I'm just grinding for those weapon parts because I'm an addict. I'm so fresh, herbal essences cause a death, her benevolence. I'll inspect you before a trial's run, so I know you're faking. You can call me the king, but I'm not taking. I hate Thorn so much, it's such clutch, I wanna
Oh, you know what, I just watched Triple Rex highlight, and I think I'm gonna quit. Yeah, I give up.